Okay, quick question for you this morning. You can either think about it, talk to the person next to you about it. When was the last time you really felt God? Off you go. This morning, we're talking about Acts 2. Obviously, we're talking about Acts 2. It's Pentecost today. We celebrate Pentecost. It's such a wonderful day, and I'm so glad, Judy, that you share. That even this morning, we're feeling God move. There's something about the presence of God. Something about coming together as friends and family. There's something about the worship. There's something about hearing the prayers. There's something about the scripture. There's something about that allows us to connect with God. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Bethlehem means God with us. Calvary means God for us. And Pentecost means God in us. There's something about coming together as a church. There's something about singing. There's something about the prayers. There's something about the scripture. Something about that we feel it, don't we? At least some of us. Sometimes. Maybe all the time. Maybe rarely. But there's sometimes that we encounter God and we think, no, that is... A few weeks ago we talked about on the road to Emmaus and their hearts were strangely warmed. You have that feeling. Don't know about you, but for me it seems to be independent of what's going on. I can have the worst week and still know God with me and still feel the presence. And sometimes it can be the most mundane car journey. And then you just turn the radio on or you press play on. What do you call them? Praise tapes? I say you, G, I'm looking at you. Apparently there are these tapes that play music. Anyway, whatever, I haven't encountered them. CDs, oh yeah, whatever. But you're just driving on the road and then there's this song that comes on. Might not even be a Christian song sometimes, but there's a song that comes on and it hits you and you think, God's with me. There's something about that presence and that power and it affects our emotions. And it's good, isn't it? It's so good. And that's my prayer for us this morning, not just this morning, but every time we come together, that we would know something of the power and love of Jesus. Been thinking about it for our village. So some of you might not know this, but about 6 months ago, our regional minister, a guy called Graham Ross, who I think all of you will have met, you might not have realised it was him, but anyway, regional minister called Graham Ross, he came and he gave a prophetic word to us as the leadership group at our prayer meeting. And I wanted to share it with you this morning because I think it's applicable. It's a good word. So he was, this is the story Graham told. So you can blame him if you're offended by it. But and he said, he was in Earl's Cone. He was at the co-op. You know the one just there. And he wanted to get an ice cream. It was a beautiful sunny day. Maybe it was longer than 6 months ago then anyway. But he wanted to get an ice cream. And he had, him and his wife were there. They went to get an ice cream. And he said, I couldn't believe how expensive Magnums are at the co-op. Anyway. So, and in his own words... With my Scottish roots, I thought I'd look for a bargain. And so what Graham does, very clever man, is he goes to the back, you know, the back of the cup, where they keep the multi-packs of ice creams. Because he realised it was cheaper to buy a multi-pack than it was to buy two individual Magnums. As I say, a smart man, a man on the eye for a bargain. So he goes and he buys the multi-pack and he said, and I found myself standing outside of the co-op, attempting to give away two Magnums to strangers as they walk past. And he stopped it. He said, I deliberately left it in the box so they wouldn't think there's anything weird about it. And I'm stopping people and I'm like, would you like a Magnum? And he said, I could not believe how many people were said no. Walking past him, he was like, excuse me, I've got these. And he explains to me, he's like, it's literally cheaper for me to throw these things in the bin than it is for me to buy these individual. Please, will you take them? And eventually a woman stopped and said, I won't have one, but my boy will have one. He says, go on, are you sure you don't want the other one as well? He's like, all right, my son can have that for later. And so this woman, she took it, she gave it to her son to eat now. She took the other one. She gave it to her son to eat later. And Graham said, and this I thought was really important for us as a church, that there's sometimes a sense in the village, amongst the people we encounter in this general area, that people say, it's all right for my kids, but it's not for me. It's all right for my kids, but it's not for me. Those of us who come to the zone and message church, sometimes we can experience that. It's all right for my kids, but it's not for me. Some of us also have that attitude when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You know what? It's all right for them. It's not for me. It's all right for the people at the front. It's Yeah, that one's not for me. It's all right for them to put their hands out when there's prayers or whatever. It's all right for them to feel peace. It's all right for them, but that isn't for me. The wonderful truth about Pentecost is then the prophecy to Joel is fulfilled. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. I will pour out my spirit on all people. You see, in the Old Testament, then it was true that the Holy Spirit kind of came down. God used to meet people individually. And so what happened was that God would meet people individually and give them the power, what they needed, the creativity, the ideas, to fulfill a certain task. So just a few quick examples. Bezalel, great name. If we have another kid, Bezalel should be up there as a suggestion. I'm currently pushing for which I think would be excellent. NG exclamation mark EAU. Anyway, stop talking, Seven. It's not important. Charity doesn't like it. So if you keep mentioning that name to her, then hopefully I'll wear her down. Anyway, never mind. Bezalel. Bezalel is given, in the Old Testament, is given the power of the Holy Spirit in order to build the temple. And so suddenly he has all of these ideas, creativity. Some of us here this morning are very creative. I've seen some of Grace's pictures. They're beautiful. There's something about God has given her that ability to be creative with her painting. And there are others like Bezalel who were given the power of the Holy Spirit to be creative, but he was given it for a certain task. In Deuteronomy, Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the Holy Spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Joshua, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit lands on him and fills him and gives him what he needs for a specific task. But in the New Testament, I'll read it again. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. On all people. This morning, if you take nothing else away, please remember this. The Holy Spirit is for you. The Holy Spirit is for you. It's not just for the creative people. It's not just for people who are talented. That's not just, oh yeah, it's all right for them. God's filled there, that's fine. God's blessed them. No, the Holy Spirit is for you. It's not just for people like Joshua, the super Christians, the ultimate Christian saints that we look at and we think, oh, if only I was more like you. The missionaries, the people who do amazing things, the people who... No, the Holy Spirit is for you. I will pour out my spirit on all people. I think I've told this story before, but I used to live in Hull. Or Hollywood, as I called it. Really enjoyed it. And I remember distinctly the first week I was in Hull. I just set up in my little house. And I really wanted to join a church. And so I thought what I will do is I will just look in the local area. I'll go for a little wander around where I live. And we'll go to, I need to find a church. I want to get involved, I want to get plugged in. And I came across this one. Beth, I think I've got a little picture of it here. Not that one. Yes, this one. I'm sorry the screen's not very good, but this says here, Church on the Way. And I walked past that church and I thought, well, I'll come back when it's open then. Never mind. There's a church on the way. It didn't have a time limit of when it was arriving. So, church on the way. It was literally just around the corner from my house, but I thought, I'll come back when it's open. Anyway, a couple of weeks pass. I actually find another church that I start going to. But a couple of weeks pass, and I keep going past that. A church on the... When are they opening this thing? I mean, how long does it take? 3 months pass, and I clock that those fellas have called their church Church on the Way. That's just the name of their church. It's been open all this time. And there was something about that that struck me this week as I remembered the story. There's something about that God says, I am open now. But we keep walking past it and think, oh, one day I'll get round to it. One day I'll get round to it. One day God will be open. Sometimes we view God as this kind of venomous, oh, one day I'll be blessed by God with the power of the Holy. One day God will reach into my life and give me the peace. One day God will give me the joy that I need. One day God will give me the hope. And we go, keep walking past the church. Church on the way. One day. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's open now. God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will see dreams. And so Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and said, this has been fulfilled today. What the prophet has said thousands of years ago, this is happening now. We're not just waiting for the super Christian. We're not just waiting for the people who are talented. We're not just waiting for God to somehow open up the doors. We can know that today it is for you. The Holy Spirit is for you. And you. Yes, and you. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Peter says, this has been fulfilled today. The Holy Spirit's for you. And the really wonderful thing is that you don't have to earn it. Don't have to earn it. A few months ago I did a series on the feasts that Jesus would have celebrated. And one of them was Pentecost. Feast of Pentecost. Like, Pentecost happens every year. I know that this morning we sung, "We need another Pentecost." That one, yeah. To be honest, the Jews do it literally every year, as do we. So but there's the Feast of Pentecost. And what they would do is a celebration. It's like our harvest kind of celebrations. Pentecost was where they would come together and they would give thanks to God for the harvest. Give thanks to God for what is produced for them. And this is what it says in Leviticus, I think it's 23. Count off 50 days from the days of first fruits, I think it is. From them where you live, bring two loaves made of two tenths of an ephah of finest flour, etc., etc. Present seven male lambs, etc., etc., for a burnt offering. The priest is to wave the two lambs before the Lord as a wave offering, together with the bread of first fruits, their sacrifice to the offering of the Lord for the priest. On that day, you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and do no regular work. Because when God wants to teach people to be grateful, he tells them, don't do any work that day. Don't do any work that day. If you want to receive gifts from God, never feel you have to earn it. When this is being given by Moses to the Israelites, and we did talk about this when we did the series, these guys have been slaves for 400 years, and slaves do not get a day off. And Moses says, when we are celebrating this, when we are celebrating the harvest, when we are celebrating the good things God has given you, don't do any work that day. Because we never want you to think that you have earned this. It wasn't your hard work that earned God's love. It wasn't because you prayed hard enough. It wasn't because you fasted for long enough. It wasn't because you turned up to enough services. That is not why God loves you. On that day, do no ordinary work, because you need to get it straight in your head that God loves you because he loves you because he loves you. You need to get it straight in your head that you are set free, not because you worked really hard as slaves, no, because God loves you and he has chosen you and he has set you free. When you bring the produce of the harvest, when you look at your life and you see the good things that are there, when you see that you have got enough health to get to church this morning, when you look up and you see the sun shining, never think, I earned this. But instead, be grateful to God who loves you because he loves you because he loves you. The Holy Spirit is for you. It's not for the super Christians. It's not for the talented ones. It's not for the ones up the front or the ones out in Uzbekistan. It's not for the missionaries. It's for all of us. The Holy Spirit is for you. And you don't have to earn it. You just have to say yes. You just have to say yes. You just have to say yes. On those days, God will pour out his Holy Spirit on all people. And Peter stands up and says, today, this is being fulfilled in your presence. I don't know what you need this morning. I'm sure some of us need peace. And the Holy Spirit brings that. Sure, some of us need creativity and ideas, and the Holy Spirit brings that. I'm sure some of us need hope, and the Holy Spirit brings that. Some of us need joy, and the Holy Spirit brought that to such an extent that they all thought they were drunk. The Holy Spirit changes our emotions, it changes our scenario, it changes our outlook, it changes our situation. We can ask God to come by the power of his Holy Spirit and meet us where we are at. Not because we have earned it, but because he loves you and our Father gives us good gifts. When Mary and Martha host Jesus, Martha is so busy out in the kitchen trying to prepare everything, trying to work hard. But it's Mary who gets it. She sits at Jesus' feet and just receives. So I'm going to invite us to do that now. Father, this morning we receive your Holy Spirit. We choose to say yes to you. We choose to receive the good gifts that you have for us. We thank you that you love us, not because we have earned it, but because we are your children. So we say, come Holy Spirit. I wanted to read this from the fantastically named St. Augustine of Hippo, who was 354 AD. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, Holy Spirit, that my works too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend that it is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that may I always be holy.